Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the midweek howl is recording.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
So I told you before we got on air. So my friend Lauren Snap hosts this nationally syndicated show called Pop Crush, and they play pop music all over the country or whatever. But
okay,
she writes articles. It's because you can go to this Pop Crush, and it's kind of like pop culture. You know, so she wrote an article, and I'm going to read it because it's kind of relevant for something else that's happening, and it kind of fits for maybe because we're getting into October Halloween season.
Okay, I'm ready when you are.
So the title is Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses are for sale for $150,000.
Okay.
So the infamous aviator-style eyeglasses serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer wore in prison are currently for sale for $150,000. According to TMZ, the notorious glasses are being sold by Taylor James, the founder of Cult Collectibles. The Canada-based shop specializes in cult-related collectibles and true crime murderabilia. He told TMZ he is finally willing to part with the glasses the Milwaukee-based murder wore. However, the glasses aren't the only notable piece in his collection. James claims he acquired Dahmer's glasses and several other personal items, including Dahmer's, now this is what I would be bidding on, Dahmer's cutlery, his Bible, family photos, and other memorabilia from a former housekeeper. Cult Collectibles website currently features many of the items for sale in its Jeffrey Dahmer collection. But if you're interested in the glasses, you have to reach him directly because they're not just going to be sold on the website. And it's the reason it's kind of noteworthy right now is the new Netflix series about Jeffrey Dahmer's life is going on right now, which some people have told me is pretty good and disturbing. So the grisly story of the Milwaukee killer who was arrested and convicted of killing 17 boys and men between 1970 and 1990. And so me or you and any of our listeners can get his glasses that he wore in prison for $150,000. How about
it's
that?
It's not going to be me.
It's not going to be you.
Well, first of all, I'm going, how do we know they're real? For real. You got a certificate of authenticity? And how come the guys that killed him didn't break him? And how did they go from prison in Wisconsin to Canada?
Well, that's this. So apparently to the story, the guy that owns the cult classic memorabilia place bought all those items from a housekeeper, which... I can't afford a housekeeper. How did Jeffrey...
what do you mean a housekeeper?
I don't know. Was it the housekeeper in prison?
Well, was she trying to... Yeah, I don't know. Was she trying to... Did she get contracted with the state of Wisconsin and clean the crime scene up or something? I don't know. There's just some stuff there that I'm
Well, how does... So...
The only thing that I would buy that cost $100,000 is a piece of property... Maybe a Holland shotgun, and that's about it. I mean, I can't think of a single thing in my imagination. And that's me getting old and boring. That I would pay $100,000 for. Like, you know what I mean? Sir, I can't even think anything.
Well, certainly, if I was going to buy anything, it'd be his cutlery set, right?
I mean, use it at like Thanksgiving and stuff. Would you set the table with it, make everybody use it, and then after they got done, tell them?
This, by the way, I hope, did you enjoy our new knives? They were Jeffrey Dahmer's. Which is terrible to think and say for the victim's sake, but if for the sake of our podcast, that's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just weird how that stuff becomes, you know, and that is something, you know, who's going to end up with those is that Zach Bagans, the guy who has the one ghost show on the Travel Channel and has the museum out in Vegas with all the haunted stuff. He's got a lot of Charles Manson stuff, and he just has a lot of crazy stuff. That sounds like something he'd end up getting, you know, to put on display out there. Which I'm not sure I would want to go to a museum to look at that stuff anyway. You know? Would you, I mean, is that something you'd care about?
You know, I've been to the Madame Tussauds wax thing, you know, in Vegas.
Yeah.
I went to one somewhere else. Where's another one at?
Niagara Falls.
Oh, somewhere else. Anyway, I've been to a couple of those things. If I got my kids, they want to do goofy stuff like that. But myself, I don't know. You know, it's, you know.
Well,
maybe it's because I just come off an 1,136-mile road trip that I don't feel like going anywhere, and certainly don't feel like going to a wax museum or a haunted museum. That
where was the road trip? Where was your 1,100-mile road trip?
I took my kid's car out to Virginia Beach for me. He's in the Navy, and I told him when he got settled wherever he's at, I'd bring his car out to him, right?
Yeah.
And so about 3 weeks ago, I said, tell me a weekend that you're going to have off so I can bring it out to you. So we did the math, and it was this weekend, right? So of course, I tell my little brother, I say, hey, now his car is it came out of my dead brother's stable. It's a convertible BMW 328.
Oh, okay.
IS. So we put some new tires on it for him, cleaned it up, you know, and I told my little brother, I said, well, I'm going to bring a car out this week. And of course, I didn't think about it too much until he said, good effing luck driving through the hurricane.
I'm like,
dude, the hurricane's in Florida. I'm going to Virginia. Right? So what started out a nice sunny trip ended up, oh, and I had a bunch of phone calls to make, too. So I get in this, and I don't know how many convertibles. When's the last time you were in a convertible? But a convertible to me is like a Jeep. You know what I mean? It's like a wind tunnel. This thing was quieter with the top down the day before than it was with the top up while I was driving it, right? So I got my Beats headset on, which apparently nobody can hear me talk on. Did I try to call you Thursday or Friday? Seems like nobody I talked to. I think it's because the first couple people I had to call couldn't hear me. Like my brother was like, call me back when you get somewhere I can hear you. Anyhow, by the time I got to Virginia, dude, it is blowing 80 miles an hour and raining torrential rainfall, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I had a, I guess I would call it a third, I don't know, a 2.5 to 3rd. A friend of mine asked me if I was interested in this job. I said I was. He introduced me to this guy. So that would be our first conversation, right? That guy said, hey, the guy that works out of runs the state of Kansas, I want you to talk to him. So it would be so I met the guy at I'm just gonna say at State Capitol. And he said, I want to talk to you next week at length when nobody's around. So the next week at length, we talked on the phone. We talked salary. We talked some stuff. He said, I want my guy from Kansas City to talk to you, or our guy from Kansas to talk to you. And how's the first part of your week look? Now, the first part of the week to me is Monday or Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, perfect. Well, the guy, he didn't call me. Couldn't, of course, my old lady said, did they ever call you back? I said, no. But so on Wednesday, he said, how's Friday at 3 o'clock sound? And I said, okay. Now, my personal thoughts was, dude, that's the first part of the week. Is your first part of your week is Friday at 3? That's my kind of company, right? that's my kind of place, right?
Yeah, of course.
Unfortunately, Friday at 3, I was in Richmond, Virginia, pulled into a Love's truck stop to take this call in my kid's convertible, and it's the perfect storm out there. It's a combination of Twister and perfect storm, and I'm in a convertible, and after about 15 minutes, my roof starts dripping in two spots, exact same spot on both sides. I guess the water was getting in between the roof. Like, it didn't really have a good drip edge like a normal car would, right? So when you're driving, I pulled over to get gas into Love's, and I knew I was talking to these guys at 3, and the roof was almost dry because I guess the way the wind blows it over the top, right? It doesn't really hit. But sitting in the parking lot, man, it's dripping right on the passenger seat, right on the driver's seat. So I got this giant wet spot between my knee to my hip. And then, of course, everybody and their brother is texting me and calling me. And every time it texted and called me, it would drop the Zoom call. And it was a Zoom, you know, sign into a meeting. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm in a Zoom meeting trying to negotiate a possible job, as much as I hate to say it. And I'm getting dripped on, and, you know, and I have to tell them, dude, I'm in a hurricane. I'm in a hurricane, whatever the hurricane was. And they're like, oh my God, are you serious? I said, yeah, I was driving my kid's car out to Virginia Beach. I'm parked here. And I didn't tell them I was dripping.
Maybe you could tell.
Well, they never called me back. So.
Oh no. What's that?
Well, I don't know. You know, they said they're going to let me know something next week, which is
this week.
I guess today, Monday, right?
Yeah. Well, wait, next week, according to them, could be like Saturday.
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? And I don't even know. They asked me a question about launching a new product, essentially, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember how exactly they worded it, but it was essentially a brand. If I was going to start from scratch, launching as a brand. And I had this great idea, but I didn't tell them my great idea for two things, because then I didn't want them, if they didn't give me the job.
Stealing your idea. You don't
want is that to... bad of me? Is that bad of me?
No.
And in some time today, I was thinking maybe I should have given them that idea so they don't realize, you know what I mean? They don't, you know what I mean? Maybe I should have pushed it over the edge and took it. Right, you know what I mean? I had the winning play and I did.
Yeah, that might have been the clincher.
And I
right
didn't
there.
Run it. Yeah, but then I was like, I don't know if I want to give them the secrets to the safe, because then they don't need me.
That is quite of a... It's quite a quandary right there.
But I told my brother, I said, dude, I think I could take this. I think I could start my own company and do what they do, because I got the idea. You know what I mean? And I'll talk to you offline about it, but not that I'm that way. I'm pretty lazy, which is the reason why I'm doing this podcast in the basement and not out in jail getting ready for the snow to fly. You know,
I'm doing it in the basement too. So don't feel bad.
You know, I was some dude on Twitter tweeted the other day that said, your follow through is your ability to follow through means more than any to basically follow through a bad plan will probably have a better chance of success than
all these good ones, you know, that you never complete or whatever. And I thought, dude, that guy's talking about me.
Well, then you should, that should spur you on, right, to follow through?
No, I told my brother I'm just about to give it up. I told a guy, you know, I worked a little bit today with a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, you know, I'll never make $2 million. And he said, why? And I said, you know, because once I get the first million, I'm quitting. I don't. Yeah. We were talking about Bitcoin, as a matter of fact. I had the opportunity to buy Bitcoin when it was $10 a piece, and I thought it was a scam.
Well, even if it was a scam, you know, $10 a piece is worth taking a shot.
Well, my buddy was buying it when it was a dollar a piece.
Oh, boy. How many did he get?
He was trying to get me to buy it. And then I didn't do it. And then he was bragging to me, hey, it's up to $10 now. And that's when I was telling this dude the story today. I said, you know, I could have never been, you know, because it's up, what is it, 24,000 this week?
I don't know. I mean, it's way down, but it's
still, yes, but it's still more than. So had I bought $1,000 worth, he was trying to get me buy $1,000 worth, which would have been what, 100 of them at $10.
Yeah,
100 of them. So, and when they were at 50,000, he was calling me saying, "See, I told you." I said, "Dude, I would never made 50,000 because once they got to, if I paid 10 bucks, once they got to 100 bucks, I'd have dumped them all."
Well, yeah, I mean, you had $100,000. That's quite a profit. Right? So, I mean, that's.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know, you know. That's why I can't make it as a country singer or songwriter, because the first time I got a good song, somebody offered me a little money, I'd give it to them, you know.
Maybe that's my problem.
There you go. That's right.
I'm still waiting on them to offer the money.
Well, I will.
Oh, geez. So how was your son happy then to see you? Like,
no, he's great. Yeah, absolutely. I got on bases.
I saw a picture of him on the ship.
Yeah, I took that picture. Yep. We went out and we saw some museums. We done some stuff. And then, of course, the flying home was a freaking tragedy. I had to get up early in the morning and go over to Norfolk and get on a plane that had a mechanical issue, a computer issue, and we sat there. We're an hour and a half delayed coming out. So as I'm turning on my phone in Chicago, it texts me and tells me you missed your connection. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I got 14 minutes. Well, by the time I got to the gate, they'd closed it up and left. Or, you know what I mean? So I got there at 10:01. The flight was taking off at 10. So.
Oh, gosh, so you had to sit there and wait?
Yeah. So then, of course, the app was trying to rebook me for the next day. So I walk over to the ticket counter, and this guy goes, well, we got only got two flights to Columbia, and that one's already left, and the next one's booked, so 8:30 tomorrow, which was today, or 7:30, well, you know, whatever time it was this morning. Or I said, how about Springfield, which is Springfield, Missouri, not too far. Okay, I got one you can land at 9:30 if you go through Dallas. And I'm like, what?
Why would you go to Dallas and then?
Because she didn't have, well, I don't know. You know, it's the airline industry, so... I said, how about St. Louis? And she said, okay, I can get you. She said, well, I got one. It leaves in 34 minutes in St. Louis, which I had seen that one originally on my thing, you know, because I was. And she said, no, the door's already closed. The machine won't let me give you that, because that was just, I could run back to where I was anyway. So I had to sit there 6.5 hours to finally get one to St. Louis to where my brother picked me up. Thank goodness, my French brother picked me up and brought me home, actually brought me over to the shop, and I took a car from the lot home. And but my point was, it was 17-hour day to get home. I could have freaking drove home from Virginia faster than that.
I would say so. I mean, that that flying I did a couple weeks ago to go to Utah, that was the first flying I had done in almost 25 years. And I just, I know it's convenient and stuff, but man, I just don't like it. The whole thing, I just don't like it.
Yes. And, you know, there's a million times I wish I had the people with me on this podcast with me, because I was those people are, you know, so I walk up at Norfolk, and I've flown out of Columbia, Missouri, and I know it's going to be a little plane, right? And I've got a carry-on, just a little roller bag, nothing special. But I decided, because I knew I was going to have a fairly tight connection, it was an hour and a half or hour and 40 minute connection in Chicago. Okay. I went in and decided to check my carry-on. So when I go through the airport, I've got my billfold in one pocket, my cell phone in the other pocket, and a little in a charging cord and little plug-in block in my back pocket. That's all I got. I don't even have a jacket on. I put a long sleeve t-shirt on, put my jacket in my bag. I don't got nothing. I don't even have a ball cap on. Okay? I don't have nothing. So I go over to the kiosk. It's a, anyway, I check my bag. It wants me to pay 30 freaking bucks, American Airlines. I'm like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
So I paid 30 bucks. And then the next icon says, you're in a small plane. Would you like to check your carry-on for free? I said, yes. I'm trying to back up. Yes. So it printed me two baggage labels. So then I walk over to the ticket counter to get this gal. And I said, hey, it was asked, prompting me to check my bag for free. Yet it charged me 30 bucks before I got to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So you didn't get your 30 bucks back?
No, she said, well, you done paid the 30 bucks. You done checked that one. I said, no, it's my carry-on. She goes, it ain't your carry-on if you checked it.
Oh, wow.
In some shitty East Coast, you know, Ebonics. And I just said... And I don't know why it made me mad, but it made me mad. So then I go through the freaking gate. No problem. Go through TSA. I get to my plane. It's delayed. I miss my connection. What happened? Something happened in Chicago and I missed my connection. Yeah, so I was just like, okay, so now, not only did you not give me my 30 bucks. Oh, I was in boarding group 6, right? Which is like the last people to board. So now me as a student of the theory of business, right? You would think the guy that you just screwed up his ticket, you know, you had a bad plane that couldn't take off. He sat here for 7 hours. You'd think you'd put him in boarding group 1 or 2, wouldn't you? No. They put me back in boarding group 6, and you got all this whole plane full of people with bigger carry-ons than I had, okay? And they all want to bring them on that plane that ain't got any overhead space. Okay. So then the guy tells them, well, you just put it wherever you want. So you got people in the front that walk to the back, they put their carry-ons in the back. So then when the door goes ding, I can't get off the freaking plane because they're trying to go against the stream. I'm said, dude, and then they're calling back. Hey, can his is over 15 there. Can you get it? No, I can't. And they look at me like I'm an ass. And I was like, I said, you should have freaking checked it. Like me. You know what I mean? You should have checked it. Well, it's the black one. I said, okay, which one you want? And he goes, the guy in the middle, you know, it's like a fireman line. And he's telling me, it's the black one. I said, which one? That black one, or black one? There's four freaking black ones. The one above 15. I said, well, that narrows it down to 2. Is it that one or that one? You know, and it's like, I'm wanting the guy to shut the F up and sit down and let us get off this freaking plane, and you walk back here and get your luggage then, you know? What?
Oh, man.
But I got all these Johnny Do-Rights helping him, you know what I mean? I just want to say, he's a freaking stranger, man. He's a freaking stranger. You got the whole goddamn lineup, you know?
I think there's a lot of people listening or feeling your pain.
So finally, I just pulled this fucking back bag off and passed it up through these people, and they let us off the plane.
Well, at least you made it home, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here now. I'm down here in the basement.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm going, dude, I can't believe I used to fly all the time.
Well, so the way you used to fly before, you had kind of special treatment, right?
Yeah,
so.
In some places, but in others not. Well, and then there's another thing, like me and my brother was talking, I could have flew to Germany faster than I could fly from Norfolk back. You know what I mean? Yeah, the international flights are rarely delayed, rarely canceled. Sometimes they're delayed. Usually it's for weather on the landing end, okay? And they're rarely canceled, and there's one boarding and one unboarding, and The overhead bins are bigger. You know what I mean? I'd rather fly to, you know, I was going to say Mumbai, but that's not true. That's a whole different story. Did I ever tell you about flying to Mumbai?
No.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, when you fly in and out, I don't have any Sikhs I got listening, so I'll probably make my Sikh friends, fans mad, but we used to do this trip through Amsterdam, right? And Amsterdam is the collection point for a variety of airlines from a variety of places. That's the best way I can explain it.
Okay.
So, like, to get to Mumbai, you go Minneapolis to Amsterdam, switch planes, go Amsterdam to Mumbai. But so I'm trying to choose my words without making a bunch of people feel trashy. Okay.
Okay.
So you fly over to Amsterdam, spend the night, get up next day, you fly to Mumbai, spend the night, get a day off, you drive around, great town, if you like humidity and bugs and curry and and history. And you get back on the plane the next day, and
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a certain cuisine that they load up there that just, you know, I guess it's curry. It's just a, you know, so you got this Sikh, you got a special, I don't know, you just, they just, there's an aroma in the aircraft going from Mumbai to Amsterdam, right? So then you land in Amsterdam, you go to the hotel, the next day you get up to fly to Minneapolis, so you get on the same, different plane, you know, Big Bird, big 777s, you know, we're talking 162 people in coach, 40-some in business, 24, and you know, you're talking 210 people, 217 with the crew, probably 220. But you get all these people from the African continent, the Asian continent, and they're all on this plane to go to America. Okay. And as they come down and serve the food and the beverage and the, you know, on an international flight, as people that my listeners that know, and the people that don't, I'll tell you, my Arkansas friends have never been out of the, you know, promised land. They put you on that plane about an hour, 30, 45 minutes off after takeoff. They give you, the drink cart comes around, and depending on what time of day it is, either breakfast or lunch or snack. But they put some food in you and to get you to shut up and sit down and watch movies for a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Half of the 162 people in coach take their trash and throw it on the freaking floor. Because they are not from a place in the world that
doesn't has garbage cans.
It has garbage cans. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's about the best way, right? Yeah. So these seven flight attendants ain't going to pick up 90 people's worth of trash. So then an hour, you know, so then you're if you go to the bathroom or whatever, you're like, it's like Christmas. You know how Christmas in America? And those kids unwrap all that shit and put all that paper on the floor and all that ribbons. Yeah. And you got to get up early. So go up and, you know, give me something, put all this paper and give me a trash bag. You can't even get up and go to get the trash bag because you're okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. You're just over through all the debris. And every once in a while, there's a metallic clank where somebody's, you're stepping on somebody's soda can, and then it's soft. You know, you get a soft one every once in a while. They didn't like what they were getting, so they just threw the whole piece of article of food in the floor. And then an hour before landing, they come out, you know, with the food again. And it's like double refuse.
I'm stunned.
What's that?
You just throw the trash on the floor. I get what?
The floor of the plane, man. Floor of the plane. I've been in it a million times.
I'm stunned. Uh-huh. I never
But you fly out of Frankfurt, you fly out of Frankfurt or Paris or London, and it don't happen. But you fly through Amsterdam, it's sky's the limit, dude. Sky is the limit.
I'm going to have to make a note about
that. What?
Do not fly.
I'm not saying do not. In some ways, it's kind of appealing to me. I kind of like, you know, when you go to a place like Mumbai, you realize you're in a different world. You know, because to me, going to Amsterdam is like going to Boston, right? Old brick town.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain places that have the same feel to it because it's been a town for 500 years, right?
Lots of history.
You go to Mumbai, you're in a different world, man. You ain't in Kansas no more. I guarantee you that. So it's got an edginess to it. You know, edgy. It's got an edgy trashness to it. I'm sure I told Mumbai stories on this podcast before, haven't I? Tent cities and chickens walking down the sidewalk, cows in the street, people crapping on the sidewalk. I've never told you them stories.
No.
Oh, crapping come on, dude. Hey, what? I thought I've told these stories.
Oh,
so I draw. Let me tell you what happened to me. I draw a coveted Minnesota wolf hunting permit in about 2010 or 11. Okay, they're protected. It's hard to get a permit. They don't even hunt them up there anymore. So, but whatever. So I get this wolf hunting permit, and then I get to have to go to Mumbai this week. And the wolf season stays open till they have a quota, right? So I don't know what it is. But so usually by the first week, it's done because, you know, they might give out 1,000 permits, but they're going to close the season when 100 of them gets killed because, you know, they've got to put 10 times more permits than they want killed. You know, if they want 100 wolves killed, they got to give out 1,000 permits because 9 out of 10 people can't find one or catch one or see one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get this wolf hunting permit, but I got to go to Mumbai. So I'm kind of pumped about it. I'll be honest with you. It is my first time over there. And this buddy of mine says, "Hey, man, where are you staying?" And I said, "Well, the Leela Mumbai." I'm going to pull it up right here. I'm like, big here. So you guys look at Leela Mumbai. If you want to see best hotel, the Leela.com. Theleela.com. Leela Mumbai. It's, yeah, I'm telling you, it's, I'm going to click on this rooms 101. Let me see. I'm going to see if they got, we were upstairs in like the presidential suite, stay down. Anyway, this buddy of mine says, "Have you been there before?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, it's such a shithole." And I said, "Huh?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Where are you staying?" I said, "The Leland." He said, "You know what's weird?" I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "Right across the street, it's a big old grass field. Beautiful." And he said, "About 8 or 9 in the morning, you know how the Muslims have a call for prayer?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, they ain't Muslims over there." And he said, "But you look out there and there'll be about 30 people out in this field and they'll all be taking a crap first thing in the morning."
The field.
And I said, "Huh?"
The field that's for prayer?
It's not a field for prayer. He was just saying, you know how in the morning, when you're in a Muslim country, they all get out there and pray. He was saying these vast portion of this population is going to be out there taking a crap out in this field. He said, "When I got up before I put my glasses on, I thought they were going to be out there praying or something, and I realized they're out there taking a dump." And I thought, man, that's a hell of a thing to say, right?
So. Yeah.
You, and then he said, "Dude, you ain't never seen Blue Tar. What's that, Slumdog Billionaire? You know what I'm talking about?" See, okay. Yeah. It's 50 times. I don't want to say worse. The poverty you see in that movie is 50, just 50 times more. This is the best thing. You've been to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Now, you've been both sides of the river.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know when you're on the Cincinnati side and you're looking over Covington, Kentucky, over the Rhine there? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Down there by the Red Stadium?
Yep.
Imagine every single thing you see across the horizon, right to left, east to west, on the south side of the river, would be a blue tarp.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. When I say 3 miles worth of blue tarps, I ain't kidding you, 3 miles worth of Or go out to Vail and look at one of them ski slopes that goes up there. You know what I mean? This is just, you know, 1,000 acres of ski slope. It'd be blue tarps. So anyway, we come in there in the middle of the night. And, of course, we got weapons. Our team leader was a girl, female, whatever you want to call her. And there's some process that we have to do because you're bringing guns and ammunition in these countries. And they won't deal with her. I mean, we sat there at customs for an hour and a half. I said, what's going on? Well, they won't deal with me because I'm a woman. And I said, well, you and me talk to them? Nope. They're gonna deal with me. I'm the team leader. So you're sitting there another 45 minutes, an hour. You and me talk to them? No. By God, they're gonna deal with me. I'm the team leader. I'm like, that means something in America. No, we ain't American anymore. You know what I mean? They obviously, after 2.5 hours, they don't care. Right?
That she's the team leader.
Yes, because they ain't going to deal with her because she's a woman. They do not want to talk to her. So finally, they wear her down, and after a couple hours, she gets me and my there was two girls and two dudes. You know, I'm there with another guy, right? So then they print the paper out for us, and then there's a process that we go through. And on our paperwork, a lot of places stamp it, right? They had.
How do celebrities drop weight?
I'm choosing my words here because I don't want to give out a bunch of secrets. But they had a candle. When it come down to the sealing the paperwork, they lit a red candle and let a bunch of wax drip on this thing, and then stamped it with a crown. So it's like you're back in the 20s or 40s. You know what I mean? You're old school, right? Okay. These people are freaking old school. Okay. So Delilah sent two cars, beautiful 5 Series BMWs. And you walk out the airport, and I mean, this was shortly after when the terrorists took over the hotel, the Taj Mahal, killed all those people. It wasn't too long after that. So they had dudes with Jeeps and 50 cals and stuff. Nothing you'd really need around an airport. You know what I mean? If a tragedy would occur, these Indian Pakistani policemen would have probably killed twice as many as the damn terrorists if they opened up with these cannons. You know what I mean? In a freaking airport. So we get in these cars and we're driving. It's the middle of the night and it's just got an eerie, hazy feel. We go down over here to the Leela. They're building a soccer stadium or something across the street. And I just remember looking out of my hotel room and I kept thinking of the original Blade Runner because they're welding at night and sparks and stuff are flying off this 8-10 story roof. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Feel like you're in.
Yeah.
And you got all those sights and smells. I mean, you know, when you're watching the original Blade Runner, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's something else. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the hotel's got a big brick wall about 2 foot thick, about 15, 18 foot high, around like a whole city block, probably, if not bigger. With the hotel in the middle, you got to go in. They stop. There's a checkpoint. They got to stop the car. Even though we're in hotels, cars from the hotel, remember?
Yeah.
They, you know, put a mirror underneath it, open the trunk, search it all. Every single thing you could think of, like pulling on a military base. And then you get in there. So if you get on Leela Mumbai and hit the junior presidential suite, you will see, you got your computer up, you will see what my accommodations were there. Are you on it?
Well, I'm trying. I'm not sure I'm spelling Mumbai right.
Just hit Leela.com. VLeela.com and then pick the city when it gets you. It'll give you a bunch of options. So, of course, my partner brought a bottle of... So I'm hungry as hell. And that's another thing they say. Don't eat anything there. You're going to get sick. Well, I went to REI and I bought me a straw to...
if I needed water, you know what I mean? I brought a bunch of hiking, backpacking shit with me because
I'm not going to be stranded somewhere, right? Of course, we got water and snacks off the plane or whatever, and we go over here to the hotel. My one of my partners in the deal, he got a little old half pint of whiskey, and because you can't buy liquor, there's no liquor in India, you know. And he says, "Well, I'll come down to your room. What are you gonna do?" I said, "I'm gonna try to get something to eat." So anyway, he come down to my room, and I ordered something from room service, and we just hung out or whatever. Well, the next morning, sure enough, I get out and look out there, and there's this big old grass field, and there's just people taking a crap out there in it. Are you on the website? Have you seen?
Oh, it? Yeah. I'm seeing the Leela Mumbai, the beautiful best place. Oh gosh, it's
absolute beautiful place. Absolute beautiful place.
So across the field there are people taking.
Yeah, they just go out there and they just go, man, where they want to go. It's like it's the Wild West without cowboys, without Indians, without guns.
Did you stay in the deluxe suite, the junior presidential?
Junior presidential.
Junior presidential.
Because they kept telling us it was a presidential. Three of the four of us got presidential suites, and then they ran out of them. And my whiskey buddy, he had just a normal hotel room or suite. I mean.
I just feel bad for him.
I mean, look at that. I got it, and it was like, dude, this is better. I know people don't have apartments look like this.
It's pretty...
Uh-huh. So it's like those people are in like, and that's why I think I like them so much. You know, if I was president, I would immediately import 100,000, 150,000 Sikhs, people from India, a year, because they are the hardest working, nicest, kindest, and they have an element of hardness to them. You know what I mean? That they're not mean. So I, you know, when we see them here, they own hotels and liquor stores, whatever, you know what I mean? And sometimes they're bad neighborhoods or whatever. When you walk out of this neighborhood, so I'm getting screwed up here. We pull in, they mag our cars. We get up, they have a conveyor belt like TSA. You put your bag and your stuff in it on the outside of the hotel, go through a magnetometer, and they run their thing in, and your bag pops out on the other side so they can scan it for explosives and stuff. So, I mean, this is real security, secure shit, right? So, we decided we're going to go out on the town the next day. We have just determined when we're going to meet, right? So, we go down in the hotel, big old buffet, breakfast, biggest breakfast, biggest breakfast buffet I've ever seen in my life. Well, maybe, I don't know. I've been to some big ones in Vegas, but it's as big as anything in Vegas, right? Big as anything.
And what's it got for food? Like, what
just, I mean, everything from, so if you go over there to dine and hit that first one, citrus or whatever, you everything from snails to ham, you know, eggs, bacon and sausage and crab and fish. And I don't know.
You had me at snails.
Whatever, right? Just freaking whatever. And so anyway, I go down to the concierge and I say, "Hey, we want to get a car." And he says, "Cars are expensive. You know, where do you want to go?" I said, "I don't know, but we're going to go out on the town." And he says, "Well, if you rent it for the hotel, you got to take two cars because they're not big enough." Now, remember, they had 5-series Mercedes. So I'm thinking that two girls can, my partner can sit in the back. I can sit in the front. That's all we need. He says, "I know a guy."
Oh, boy.
And my dude in Minnesota told me, just go to the concierge because these guys have been there a million times. You know, State Department approves this place. It's supposed to be, you know, Secret Service stays there. This is the real deal hotel. So I said, "Okay." He gets on his phone and talks and whatever they talk, you know, and next thing you know, this dude's rolling up through the mags, through everything. And like, it's, you know, the best thing, like an old Mazda 626 or something. Whoa, because they're all 5-speeds over there, you know,
pulls right up. This is your guy.
In a month. In a Mazda 626.
It's what it looks like, but it's not a, I mean, it's, I don't, maybe it was a Mazda 626. That's what it reminded me of, right?
Okay.
So I look at Mike, that's the part my partner with it, and I'm like, is this for real? And they're like, you know, the thank goodness the three people I had with me, one of them was from Seattle, the other two were from Minneapolis. So they were very open-minded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, because if I had three boys from Arkansas and from Branson in there,
they wouldn't
have got a car. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have gotten a car. So, and we had worked out a little set, you know, if some bad stuff happens, there's different ways we, you know, and we play these role playing things in our mind and work it out. If we ever get wrapped up, you know, that's like kidnapped or whatever. These guys are going to choke out the driver, kill the driver in the back seat. I'm going to push him over out the door. You know what I mean? And because sometimes you get in some cars, you know, I mean, I got in a car. Me and my team got in a car in Paris that, you know, I joked with them later. That was the closest time they've ever came to a terrorist. But that's a whole nother story. But anyhow, we get in this guy's car. So I'm the biggest, so I got to sit in the front. That's just the way it is. You know, I'm 6'3", 250. You know what I mean? I'm getting in the front. So if I'm in a Mazda 626 by myself, it's crowded. Right? But they're in the back seat. We got a little Pakistani driver. And he's got these little dingleberries. You know what a ding ding truck is? You know how they. He's got these little felt velvet, like the roof of the, like the roof
hanging
of,
down. They're the
yes, like the roof of this car has been stapled and tuck pointed to look like
bed canopy. So like,
sort of more like I was thinking more like the pillow from a New Orleans whorehouse or something, and. It's velvety. He's got these dingleberries all the way around it. And on the dash, he's got little bobbleheads. You know the bobbleheads? It looks like the Noah's Ark. It goes from little hyenas and leopards and stuff on the left all the way to tigers and elephants glued to the dash of this little car. So when you're going, the dingleberries are rolling. And all Noah's Ark, all these animals are pointed downstream out the window. And their little heads are bobbling, you know what I mean? Like Noah's Ark. We're like Noah's Ark rolling through Mumbai. And he's like, where do you guys want to go? We said, we don't know. Just kind of show us the town, you know? And we, and, you know, he takes off like you're going somewhere. But you don't go anywhere in Mumbai because there's too many people, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even, you know, like everything, I've got a video camera. I'm rolling in 1080. And you know what's funny is I was watching some of it the other day on my computer here, just Mumbai videos of just five lanes of traffic on a three lane, you know, tuk-tuks and rickshaws, you know what I'm talking about? And cars and cows and people honking constantly. And they see you. And because my old man told me, he said, hey, you're in Mumbai. If the beggars get on you, you got to just beat them back. And I thought that's awful shitty to say. They would see us in that car and know you're Americans. And our driver told us that too. Roll the windows. You're American. They would see, and these beggars would run through three lanes of traffic to get over there. Oh, you American, you know, wanting money.
Uh-huh. That's crazy.
So the first place he took us was Gandhi's house. Mm-hmm. And I got to tour Gandhi's house. I bought a book and anyway. Just wild, man. I don't even know where I was going with this story. Where was I going with this story?
I don't know, but you went.
You know what I mean? he gave me a bunch of business cards, and I was trying to find one yet the other day. I had them on my bulletin board at my office in Minnesota, and when guys were going over there, I'd say, hey, call this guy for a ride. So, hey, he rides us. He drives us around so long, we just get tired of looking at stuff. Jerry's down to Bollywood. He brings these people. Two of the people with me brought these Persian rugs, or what? You know, what's the fancy rug? Not Persian. Is it Persian?
Persian. Yeah, Persian rugs. Yeah.
And I mean,
Turkish rug or
Persian. Whatever. You know what I mean? These $1,000, $1,500 rugs. And anyhow,
we couldn't hardly talk him into bringing us back because he just wanted to show us more and more. And at the end of the day, I said, what do we owe you? And he said, I think it was like 65 euros, which at that time would be like 75 bucks. So we all give 20 bucks to him. So I ended up giving him 20 euros. You know, me, so I gave him 80 euros. He told me that was because he's a normal cab driver, but his brother-in-law is the concierge at the hotel. Okay. So he said that's more than he makes, or about what he makes the whole month driving, you know, like driving for 4, 5, 6 days a week for 4 weeks. He makes about 80 euros, and we give him, that is what we give him that day. And I told him, I said, dude, I wish I could get you to America. And he said, oh, can you get me to America? We kind of joked a little bit, but he was serious. He said, if I could get to America, I could be so rich. And wow. I was like, yeah, he could, because he would work 7 days a week. You know what I mean? If he was an Uber driver or a taxi driver, you know what I mean? Then that's why, I wish we could have an exchange program where we could take a bunch of these shitbirds we have walking around America and just ship them over there and swap them one for one swap with Sikh taxi drivers or something.
We could use some of those guys at the post office.
Because if they're going to, because I keep seeing all this stuff out in LA and some of these big cities where the homeless encampments and shit are. I mean, because if they want to shit out in the grass and live in a tent, a blue tarp tent, they might as well go somewhere where it's not frowned upon.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.